Ready to go? Am I good?
I'm ready to
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of League Lads on our League Lads platform. It's episode, what's the episode? Are we episode three now?
This is episode three.
Episode three of the season. I'm very proud to have come so far with my brother Fred, my brother Joe. Flaxy's still not here. So in the comments, please make sure you say something not nice about Flaxy, right?
Just say I'll beat Flaxy in a 1v1 in basketball.
Say that. Hectic Fred will beat Flaxy in a 1v1 in basketball. And Penrith aren't winning the comp again. Yeah. So you might have to change teams, my brother.
Karma, bro. Karma. Change teams again.
Shout out Allah Flaxy, bro. I feel bad for even saying that. He's too humble. We had some good rugby league this week. Vegas was last week, of course. We're going to get straight into it.
Round one is finally over.
The 2 week round one. You never hear that in your life, right? It's only rugby league. I thought it was a mad week of footy, bro. I enjoyed footy this week, cuz. And I barely say that, especially when it's like teams getting pumped, you know what I mean?
Because there were a lot of pumpings in round one.
Like the Broncos game was so fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun to see.
I think it's because of who was getting... I think the fact of the matter is the teams that were getting pumped were teams that we don't like.
I agree.
Bellissimo, you know what I mean?
The Roosters got pumped, right? And we're just like, okay, that was weird. But not even that. The Broncos just looked so good. Let's get straight into it, right? My whole title for this is Chooks Are Cooked. Because I really think they are cooked. Because I have never seen anyone penetrate a side that easily.
That was bad.
That was so... it got to the point where I turned it... Like, I walk away, walk back. It's like another try. Walk away, walk back, another try. I'm like, bro. Then I see Resource bomber try. Completely bomber. I'm just like, what the hell is going on here? And I know the Roosters had, like... They lost Lindsay... Did they lose Lindsay Collins? I seen him when he got hurt, but he did...
He kept playing, bro.
He kept playing Radley, sorry. They lost Radley.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah, haram, bro. He just dropped.
I saw that shit live, and it looked horrific. So bad. And I watched it in slow motion. It looked so bad. Like, oh, man. Like, that shit must have hurt.
Before we get into the Broncos' dominance, I read something interesting today. And he said that, I think it was from Clarkies. I think he said that it's not a coincidence that the Roosters players get HIAs, like, constantly, like, to the point where they had to retire their
Cordner.
Boyd Cordner.
Luke Keery, borderline.
Literally, Luke Keery, like...
was, like, one away.
He's playing rugby league?
No, I think... Is he playing in Super League?
He's playing in Super League, but he retired. He was going to retire? And then he signed. So he went Super League. Jake Friend was...
Borderline, close.
But all of them, like even Morris had to retire because of his ACL. It was pretty much his end of his career time.
Like, dude, they've had the worst 5-year period of team injuries I've ever seen.
And is it?
And it correlates, it's sort of what Travis left like 4 years ago.
Yeah, see, that's the question. Is it their training? Is it the way they do things, bro, at the club?
Look, I don't think the HIAs are the training, right? Like, but I think the amount of ACLs they've copped,
like tackle technique as well,
normally. No.
Radley is like every time if you put a photo up of Victor Radley, I will ask you, did he get HIA'd or simbin in that game? Because and I love Victor Radley, but it's just the style of player he is, and that's the way the Roosters play, bro.
Yeah,
they throw their body on the line too much.
That's true, but you look at Boyd Cordner, his tackle technique was practically perfect.
Oh, I don't think so, bro.
Like, dude, but he just, sometimes it's 80 buzz, bro.
It's true, yeah. Like, it's not always going to, you're not always going to.
They have a couple bad months of luck, and they're screwed for life, bro. You know what I mean? But, like.
Wow, the Roosters have lost a lot of players.
But it's the ACLs, dude. Like, you have to have more than 10 fingers to count the amount of ACLs they've had last 4 or 5 years. And there's been a lot more ACLs since the six again rule came in my opinion. The stats probably back that up. But the Roosters are just the outlier.
They've copped it.
They cop 2-3 minimum a season.
Yeah.
Like, we've had Sam Walker.
Brandon Smith.
I think even Billy Smith.
Billy Smith has got like two ACLs.
Three ACLs
in like 3-4 years, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we always wait for Billy Smith because we've seen him play. We always wait for him to come back and he never comes back.
Yeah.
Haram.
Well, he comes back and then he's injured again. Yeah. Like, I've copped it 2 times. Both times were just like, one was a very bad landing and the second one was friendly fire, my own teammate. Like, when do you ever see a contact ACL injury happen?
Never, man. Very,
that
very
was my rare. Last one, you know? So, look, it's... Yeah, the Roosters, now, we go in, do you think they're cooked? Why?
I look at the team, and I don't see, like, a strong point. Especially, bro, letting Terrell May go, no more Jared. I look at Terry, I look at, like, Chad Townsend is not really going to pull him out of the mud or get him across the line and win games. Sam Walker can, but when's Sam Walker coming back? End of the year? Halfway through the season?
Halfway.
Halfway through the season?
They're saying round 11.
Round 11 is still...
You know who they versus round 11?
Bulldogs.
I think it's the Dogs.
Has never heard.
I think it's the Dogs,
so,
right?
So, like, that's why I think they're cooked. Because I can't see... And when I say cooked, I don't mean, like, they're going to win. I know they're not going to win the grand final. Like, straight out. Let's be real.
You're saying they're going to
make the eight. I'm saying they're not even going to make the eight. They look cooked. And it could be too early, cuz. I know the Roosters have a big heart in them. But I don't see Terry. I don't see any one of those players doing anything crazy. Dylan Brown, we're going to speak about this later. Dylan Brown should have went to should have went to the thing, cuz. I think should have went to the Roosters. Like, if like they need to sign someone, yeah, because I don't feel like there's anyone there for them.
Because I don't think they're... I think they're thinking, if they are cooked, it's because they consider this year a write-off.
A write-off, yeah. That's what I mean.
Because they don't want Dylan Brown because they know Dylan Brown's not... I think they'd rather send that same money...
To Ponga.
To Ponga or Lachlan Galvin or someone like that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Someone that's going to be there, that's proven that they have the talent to do it consistently in the big matches... You know what I mean? Like,
someone
Dylan Brown
balls
does not have that. But I don't think they're cooked, because I think the scheduling works out perfectly for them, because they have the most effed up, like, first 10 weeks I think I've seen a team have. Like, they have the whole top four from last year.
So after round 11, they probably can
like
bounce back.
Like, after they verse us, it's nothing. And it's like easy. It's like they've got the effed up schedule and then all their buys in, like, the first half of the season. So then... After that, they have Sam Walker back. They're going to galvanize each... Like, I'm telling you...
They'll make something. They'll make a run.
Like, this team has been injury-riddled before, has been, like, had, like, all these random NPC players before, and they've made finals before. Yeah. Like, they had Drew Hutchinson in centers and made the grand... not a grand final, but they made the finals, right? I think Trent Robinson is good at just finding a way to get... He's just got to find his group of players that he likes. Sometimes that means big name players have to get lost or
whatever
get
it phased
out.
Maybe, yeah.
They might be stretched a bit too thin. I think their biggest problem is the way their team's assembled. Like, I just don't think the Wanganita Wase is a centre.
Yeah.
Like, they same have three wingers, but that Robert Toya kid looked
He's
really good.
He's a cool player, bro.
I think they're just missing one forward and a half that is actually a good half, because Chad Townsend and Sandon Smith, that's just not it.
Yeah, I just think for this season, you're fine, but then next year and Teddy gets slow, I don't know, bro.
Yeah,
you know who I really like? But the Broncos, bro.
Because, I really like the Broncos.
Because, bro, I have a question here. Like, first and foremost, we all knew Madge. We know what Madge is going to do at the Brisbane Broncos. You might judge him off his Tigers tenure, but let's be real. No one's really successful at the Tigers team. Not even Benji yet, and he's had all these players and signing and whatever, all right? Now... Michael Maguire's won a premiership. We know it, because he's won one premiership, yeah? I'm telling you from now, bro, wallah, I have never seen, like, Payne... Like, we all say Payne Haas play so well. We all say Adam Reynolds play so well. We all say all these players really well. But to make them... They just looked so hungry, cuz. Wallah, they looked like they had no mercy for Roosters. They're like, they don't care who died on that day. They didn't care about anything, anyone, anytime, anywho. Brother, let's go. Like Shannon Sharp. This, that, like some five. That's the mentality that he's put in them, right? And I seen Willie Mason today talking about the way they used Payne Haas. And I didn't even notice it, cuz I noticed how good he was, but I didn't notice that when we watch Payne Haas, we watch 80 minutes of Payne Haas constantly, or you might get a 5 minute rest. But now Michael Maguire is looking at him like, all right, I'll play you the first half an hour and the last half an hour. And I'm like, cuz, like, he just looks like... These little things, bro, can probably get Brisbane Broncos over the
100%.
Line. 100%. And it's all Michael Maguire.
Yeah, no, Madge is... Dude, I think an 80-minute prop is the dumbest thing that is... I think it's...
There's no point of it.
Especially someone like Payne Haas. Like, do you want 60 quality minutes or 50 half, like, quality minutes?
Not even 40, bro. When you're playing 80 minutes...
And then 30 freaking write-off minutes or minutes that you're not getting...
Missed tackles.
Like, you'd actually be better. Like, I would never play a prop more than 60. Like, and I think Payne, his body was breaking down playing so many minutes. Like,
he started to get injured last year, right?
Yeah, but the last couple of years. And I don't think he's that injury prone, but they're just flogging him. They're flogging him.
Yeah, yeah, like, out there, play 90 minutes.
Yeah,
bro.
Like, it's like Kyrie Irving. As soon as the guy's minutes went up, he was 34 years old. I know it's a different sport. 34 years old playing 38 minutes a game.
Freakish accident
a game.
Too, but, man.
And then it just, you're weaker, you're more tired, more susceptible to injury. What he did with Payne Haas was amazing. That was an amazing Payne Haas game. Like, he was throwing, he was offloading like his life depended on it. Like if he didn't throw
even the quick ones, like dude, before he goes to the ground to get tackled, like poop.
That one to Corey Pax was like, dude, if he's added that to his game properly, and everyone's screwed.
Everyone's Queensland fourth,
and I remember there were so many people telling me I have Brisbane too high. I'm starting to feel like I have them too low.
I honestly had him third. Wallah, I can see. That's one game, bro.
It's one game.
We're going to get carried away. There's going to be injuries.
Against a team that played like us, right?
Yeah, but I just think that it's not even about the players for me. It's about Michael Maguire putting his touch on these players. That's all I care about.
Can we just talk about Ben Hunt, bro?
I want to ask you this question. Do you think the Ben Hunt and Adam Reynolds combination is the best in NRL? And I know we're going off one game. Everyone calm down. But if you actually think about it, who's got a better half combination in rugby
Melbourne.
League? Cameron Smith and Munster, yeah. Anyone else?
Cameron Smith.
Cameron Munster and Brandon Smith, sorry.
Brandon Smith.
What's his name, cuz? I'm hungry, cuz.
He's hungry.
What's his name?
Jerome Hughes, bro.
Far out, sorry, bro.
You know, MVP.
So, yeah, MVP that just disappeared in the G.
Melbourne Storm would definitely have a better house.
All right, who else does? I'm not saying they are the best, but I'm saying who else is better than them in that position?
Yeah, I think... That's
they're second?
Pretty good. Yeah,
you reckon they're a good second?
Yeah, but I think they're around the top three for sure. Like, I want to see Blaze play next to Nathan Cleary, personally.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
I really would love to see that. But here's the thing, right? What do you do when Ezra comes back?
Honestly, get him to go to the RTA and get his license.
Yeah, utility, bro. Because that Ben Hunt looks like a natural at six because of this reason.
I would never want Ezra Man over Ben Hunt.
This poor bloke...
Haram the Dragons with this team.
Poor bloke was like, he was like a...
He was pleading.
Bro, at the Dragons, he was like a teacher of like, this. Oh, I can't even, the kindergarten. Kindergarteners, but he's got no patience.
And no power.
Because he's trying to run the show. He's trying to set up all the events. He's trying to get all the alert. Like, he can't. Like they won't listen to him. All right, now he's teaching year 12, bro. He's teaching the boys now, you know. It's all the sick cunts, you know what I mean? Like he's dapping up the students when he walks in, and his role is essentially reduced now. He's got all the help he needs when he tells them something, like,
because he's got a good pack.
It's a shit analogy, I know, but long story short, and what I'm trying to say is, Adam Reynolds is doing all the managing now. He's like an assistant. Or he can just focus on what he's got four tasks now instead of 37.
But
and he can just focus on doing those four things really, really well.
You know what's important as well in this, Freddie? Is if Adam Reynolds, and it happens so often in a season, goes off in a game, injured, or misses 4 or 5 weeks, because you got Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you got a class number, like, you got a great, great halfback. Number two, number one, number three. Anything you want to do. Like, if anyone gets injured... He's such a band-aid, cuz.
Yeah.
And a good one, too.
You can put him at hooker, too.
You put him at hooker, lock. I reckon he can play as a lock if they change the way they play and stuff. But 6, 7, 9, 4, like 13, yeah. 14.
Yeah.
It's a great acquisition for Broncos.
He's mad, bro. And, like, he can just focus on... He doesn't have to run the team anymore. It's Adam Reynolds' job. He can just focus on having fun out there, creating some attack, getting points
like
on the
so
board.
Much fun, bro.
Dude, that try that they scored, whether he scored, was one of the best tries I've ever seen in my life, bro. Because that was our entire team just having, like, it was like the longest yard scene. The longest yard scene is exactly how, whoop! That's exactly what it was like, bro. I freaking loved it, man.
Yeah, I think that was
And
very,
I think
very
if Ben Hunt doesn't, I don't think he's a game managing seven, bro. If you put him in this six position.
I think he can manage a game, but.
He can, but. You,
in the big moments, cuz, let the guy play his footy. You see in Origin, Wahiatala, when he comes on in Origin, he's there for the big moment, cuz. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to manage anything. He just does what's in front of him.
His role is so much easier now. The team is so much better. He can just play to his strengths now. That's all he's needed the last few years. He's a player that's getting older. All right. It was mentally frustrating for him at the Dragons. So many times. Like, I was watching a lot of Dogs and Dragons games from the last few years, and there were times the guy's just, he's on tilt.
Yeah.
He gets mentally frustrated, like, in his own head. Now it's going to happen a lot less because his job is so simple. Adam Reynolds handles the all the big boy game managing role, like, jobs, you know what I mean? And Ben Hunt can just focus on getting the team, converting their good field position that their forwards are going to give him, and converting that to points.
Bro, what about this story? If Ben Hunt, he gets back, all right, and they win the grand final, and he just, like, I think that'll be, like, Khalas. That'll be one of the good.
I think everybody's rooting for that one.
I think everyone would love that because we all put on Bernard for one thing. You can't put anything bad on him other than that.
I've been putting it on him for 10 years, bro. Yeah. When Nico Hines dropped the ball the other day off the kickoff, what do I call it? It's a Ben Hunt.
It's a Ben Hunt moment. Boys, let's speak about the Tigers quickly. There's not much to touch on with this game. I thought the Tigers would win this game. When I was watching it, they were up. Terrell May looked good. Let's speak about Terrell May. No Api Korosai, no Buller. Obviously, they're going to be huge for them, bro. Wallah. Like when Api and Buller get back, because I was saying last year, Buller was one of the best fullbacks. Not one, two, or three, but he's up there in the conversation on his day. So when they're back, they're going to be a great side. But anything that surprised you from this game, Freddie, or anything you want to say about it quickly?
Yeah, how many tries were bombed? How many silly errors there were from both teams. Yeah. Honestly, it was very scrappy.
Low quality game.
But I was surprised with how passive Jerome Luai was. usually you see a player being unselfish when they're coming into a very good team and they don't want to take away from, you know, the fire that the rest of the team had, right? But Jerome Luai is coming into the team that's finished last three times in a row.
He should be.
He's getting paid $1.2 million. This guy should have his hand in every play. Instead, he just wanted to let Lachlan Galvin do everything. And I was worried about this signing when I saw it because I just see it as two sixes. No one that's really a seven, like naturally, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing about it.
And look, his kicking game was a bit, it was only okay. Like they need somebody that can properly manage a game and kick properly. And I think Jerome Luai has to be the one that does that. And he's just got to take control of the game. Like, as LeBron said, like to Luka, you need to fit out, don't fit in.
Yeah.
And he's trying to fit in. And I don't know what he's trying to fit into. This was the worst team in the NRL 3 years running. Brother, they added a new team and they still finished 17th. Like, he needs to do more. And they're paying him money.
A lot of money.
He has to give him their money's worth.
I think he'll be all right.
I think he's just got to have a different mentality, bro. He's just being too passive. He needs to take control.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with Terrell May. I like his haircut, great, to be honest. Good haircut. We're hearing Taylor May might go there.
I reckon. He said that the other day he wants to play with his brother.
Yeah.
They need a center. Olam. Yeah. It
might work out very perfect for the Penrith Tigers. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It might work out very, very good for them.
I asked her, where does Adam Dewey go?
Adam Dewey stays.
Where does he play?
Solomon Afatape is the other center. He's the one that drops out.
So Taylor May and him in the centers, that would work. And then your wingers.
I don't know why. Like, yeah, he just. It's like a no brainer for me.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Dogs and Dragons.
But
game.
What about the Knights, man? Caelan Ponga was man.
Listen, I don't have nothing to say about the Knights. Shout out to the Brickies. I want to give him a big
shout
out.
Come on, bro.
I'm sorry, Dan. I'm just hungry, cousin. When I'm hungry, I lose my brain. So I'm going to let Freddie take away.
I love Mate, Caelan Ponga had a blinder. All right. He was doing things defensively when their team was under pressure. He saved them. He won them that game, in my opinion. He saved like three tries on his own. And in attack, that guy was amazing to watch, isn't he, bro?
He's one of the him and Reece Walsh, when they opened the tank cars, it's different. It's like the only type of thing you want to show someone that doesn't watch footy. Like, you know, this is rugby league, boom, you know what I mean?
But this team has too many halves on the roster to be going and signing another one. And somehow they've signed five halves and the best one is probably Fletcher Sharp because he played at six and he was the only one that looked comfortable out of all of the halves that have played there. Like, he looked like he was a six. Yeah. He looked very dangerous. Shout out to Dylan Lucas as well.
Yeah, he looked good, bro.
Man, he looked freaking amazing, man. Like, and I think, like,
Newcastle have some talent in there, bro. What do they do?
100%, man.
They need to stop doing this, like, bro. They just did it. Signed Dylan Brown, right?
Yeah.
Like, they need to, like, minimise the team. I feel like they're Chelsea, yeah? When it comes to their 100%. Ups. They just keep signing wingers. Just, like, all right. Sign wingers.
Yeah, they need to just probably invest in some other positions. But, yeah, no, Knights probably deserve to win. They bombed that many tries. Like, Bradman Best, my goodness, he bombed four on his own. He bombed four on his own. Like, there were times where he's literally through if he just runs. He throws a shit pass.
Tries to tap it, do those taps.
Man, he's just got to get out of his own head. Bro, run the ball. You're Bradman Best. Like, no one can stop you.
And he did. In the first half, he started running the ball. And he looked so dangerous. And I think Cooper Conk's like, I don't know what Newcastle's doing. They should just give him the ball, this guy. Like, he's on one today. And then he goes and bombs the tries and whatever.
Four tries.
Even the commentators, did you guys see
Dan Jinane, yeah.
Listen, I think he said mucking up.
I think he said mucking up straight up. But
he's a professional, but man, it sounded like fucking
it
up.
It sounded like it's so bad. And you know what? I never used to like his commentary, but I've sort of grown to it. I like it now. I don't like the Channel 9 guy, bro. I think the Channel 9 guy is like...
Yeah, yeah. I'll stay away.
And when I mean Channel 9 guy, I mean all of them. Andrew Johns, Cameron Smith, blah, blah, blah. We always have this conversation.
I don't mind Johns and I don't mind Gus.
I don't mind Johns as like a side, cuz.
Yeah, yeah, not as a main.
They put him on the main sometimes, cuz. Him and the other guy. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to put KO on now and he lags. You know what I mean? So let's talk about the Rabbitohs. Wallah, I want to speak about someone in the Rabbitohs who actually impressed me, cuz.
A seven
that actually, like... Who was managing him? What was his name last year? Their coach?
Demetrio.
And
Ben Hornby.
Forget Ben Hornby. I'm talking about Demetrio. Yeah. When they let Adam Reynolds go, he's like, yeah, we don't... He basically said, we don't need Adam Reynolds. We have a seven here. And that seven ended up not being able to do kick pressure against the Bulldogs. Round one. This kid, what's his name? Humphries?
Yeah.
Jamie Humphries.
I thought it was Jake,
but you're saying Jamie, right?
Yeah.
Because he was unbelievable. His hair was unbelievable. He just looked like a player.
Bro, build, like, yeah. What? Like, because that guy's...
That's
got,
cheap.
That guy's muscles, like, because that guy's got some genetics, bro.
Yeah, that's...
Because his quads, I don't think I've ever seen a half have bigger quads than this.
It just turned into a perfect session right now.
Well, I've never seen, because I saw, like, the front part of the quad, like, fucking sticking out. I'm like, cuz, this guy's got some fucking legs on him, bro. And I'm like, the boys are like... And the thing is like, you got to appreciate a man with a physique like that. 100%. It's not gay.
Bro. It's not gay. It's just you envy. You're like, looks good.
Fuck,
you know?
Mate. That guy puts in work, bro. We're appreciating work, bro.
100%. But, bro, when I looked at him, it was as if, like, I was watching someone that had 150, 200 games under their belt. Well, like, his kicking game, his confidence... Like, I don't even want to watch Cody Walker anymore. Like, Cody Walker is not the most important person. It's one game. But he's not the most important person anymore if this guy can actually get a roll on and keep going.
And they've picked him over Dodd, who they spent a bit of money on in the offseason.
Dodd was suspended for week
one. Yeah. But so, no, they've picked, like, they're basically saying that he's in next week too.
Yeah, like, because, so, brother, as if you wouldn't play him after that game.
Yeah, you can't
drop
him.
I know it's the Dolphins, but...
Because I don't even know why they signed Dodd in the first place if you've got a kid like this. Because halves that come from England, are, like, 9 times out of 10,
they
like,
go
whack.
Back. And they probably go back. They're always homesick and stuff.
Yeah, well, they go back because no one here wants them. You know what I mean? The only one that I can remember that was from there that was good is, like, in recent time, is probably George Williams. From Canberra.
But he was good and he left, yeah?
Yeah, and he
but
went back.
They always get homesick, bro.
Yeah.
Well, and Gareth Widdop. I can remember Gareth
Widdop is hectic. Gareth Widdop was an absolute gun, bro.
He was a machine, bro.
Here's the thing, bro. Like, from the first kick, I'm like, okay, finally South Sydney have a half that can kick the ball. Because they only had success last year when Latrell Mitchell was playing and Latrell was doing all the long-range kicking. And they went on that 4 or 5-game win streak or whatever and they looked really good.
On him, this Jamie, bro.
But no, it's... And there was no real kick pressure from the Dolphins. And the Dolphins were freaking pretty bad, bro. man, you know what? I'll give a shout out to, I think, Lachlan Hubner. That's his name. His last name's definitely Hubner. But bro, this guy, they got him from the Dolphins and he was nicking everyone, bro. Like, he had, like, serious mongrel in him.
He passed the Rabbitohs now?
Yeah, this team needed mongrel bad. And they really need some go forward in the middle.
Hubner, yeah.
And but defensively he was freaking good, man. And he cracked somebody. I think it was Herbie.
No,
or
that was actually Jack White.
Jack White and cracked Herbie.
Jack White runs out of the line, just
whacked Herbie. He nicked Herbie bad. That was the biggest hit of the night. But Hubner as well, man. They've signed pretty well in the offseason with him, and like I feel really bad for the winger as well.
Harold Munro, bro.
Munro,
I've got him in Supercoach. He's injured now. But obviously, Supercoach is not important.
Collarbone again, the second time, bro. That's so I'm wishing him a speedy recovery. But he was having a nice game as well. And that South Sydney attack was giving me shades of 2021, 2022 Souths, bro.
Adam Reynolds, Cody
like
Walker.
The Sean speed, Mitchell. The confidence. And man, the man of the match, we haven't even spoken about him, Jai Gray, bro.
Oh,
this kid was a little pocket rocket and... He's playing so well, and if he keeps this up, they're going to start asking questions about what's the best thing for the team right now, because they're short about an outside back, and I don't think he'll play Gray there, but there's a prime time, probably best center in the comp when he's playing center. That's going to come back from injury round 6, round 7.
Even,
Watch, the show's going to come back on Friday.
Yeah, and beat us.
No. We're not going to beat him. We're not losing to him.
All right, let's speak about the Bulldogs.
It's time to speak about the Bulldogs
and spend a bit of time on a segment. This is why I'm trying to save all my energy for. Now, first and foremost, the Bulldogs beat the Dragons 28-20. Do I think it was that close of a game?
Hell no.
I don't think so. I do think, I'm going to say my take, Fred will say his after. I do think we did let him in the game easily. Like, we did give him away back because, like, that try from
Little,
like, what the hell is that, bro? Then, like, them scoring on Crichton's injury, like, that guy that was... we're going to speak about him as well.
Oh, we have to speak about it.
He was honestly, it got to a point where I actually forgot the game. Like, I didn't care about my team anymore. I'm like, whatever. But I was questioning, I was like, cuz, is this guy, are you sick in the head? Yeah, what's wrong with you? And then I'm like, Chris Paul and that three.
Yeah. No, you know who I was thinking about it the other day. Do you know who he really reminded me of? Bruno.
Bruno Fernandes? Yeah,
no, Bruno Guimarães, bro. With the he just kept carrying on. Celebrating. But the thing is, when Bruno does it, he's winning. But I agree with you. We did let him back into the game.
We did let him back into the game so easily.
But here's the thing, bro. Like, okay, it's round one and teams are going to get gassed, right? But the thing is I did not expect this level of intensity from us for the first hour. It was a completely different team. Like we were so much better than the Dragons at all of the one percenters at line speed, at kick chase, the intensity.
There was no threat.
We were nicking them so badly, bro. Like they couldn't keep up. And even their attack looked a lot more smooth.
You remember, I have something to tell you quickly. Do you remember someone said Blake Lawrie is better than Max King?
Did Blake Lawrie even play?
Blake Lawrie was trying to get shifted to the Tigers.
To the Tigers. He was seen there.
Just. Hey, Johnny, just a quick one, brother. Yeah. We miss you.
He said a lot of things. He said a lot of things. Like Ravalawa is the best defensive winger in the
I don't know where he is, Ravalawa.
And Ravalawa is in Reggie's.
He's in what? Toyota Cup?
He's in New South Wales Cup, right?
Oh my God.
They're playing that Fiene bloke over him, the one who dropped like three high balls.
Yeah, I think
but
we paid him.
Can you blame him? Because I just want to ask the Dragons fans one thing, because we brought up Johnny, right? I just want to ask you one thing. All the last 2 years, all I've heard is it's Tyrell Sloan's fault, it's Ben Hunt's fault, it's this guy's fault. It's that guy's fault. And they've all gone now. So whose fault is it?
Yeah,
I just want to know whose fault is it. Is it Gutherson's fault?
It's Gutherson's fault.
Is it Tupelotu's fault for
celebrating
celebrating harder than he played? Whose fault is it? I just want to know. Because Blake Lawrie's not there. And Tyrell Sloan is in reserve.
Lomax isn't there too.
And Lomax isn't there. And Ben Hunt's not there. The ultimate, the black plague they were calling
him.
Some of them were calling him a disease, a team cancer. He's gone. Whose fault is it now? I'll tell you, the halves. The halves and the forwards.
There was not one point in the match.
Just ran off the park, bro.
There's not one point in the match, yeah? Honestly, and I don't want to say this before the game. I knew this was going to happen.
I said this before the game.
You did.
The whole time,
I don't like... I'm a paranoid bloke, yeah?
No, you were paranoid. I'm like... You're like there's from the touchline,
there was
bro.
Not 1 second... Where wallah, I sent Flanagan and Lachlan Ilias, and I had it like a shiver, like I'm scared. There was not 1 second. I did not care one bit because, like, to beat the Bulldogs were one of the best defensive teams last year, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. To beat the Bulldogs, you have to do something special, right? Or you have to score a stupid try. Like that's the only two ways. There was no way of like us gonna keep conceding. And there was nothing special about Lachlan Ilias and Flanagan. Wallah, I did not ever, and there was never a point in their career where I felt threatened. If I was the other team, I was threatened. Ever. So let's get that out of the way. Let's talk about someone who really, honestly, like, signing of the season already. Just turn off the cameras. Shut the whole NRL season down. We don't even care. He even raps, cuz, right? He even had to the point where Hainsey was messaging me saying cuz, help me get him back. And like, you know when someone says it, you're like, haha. Cause he messaged me again saying the same thing. I'm like, this guy's actually serious.
He's ginning, bro.
He actually thinks I can get him to...
He's ginning. He's actually thinking we would actually give him back.
Yeah, I would never give him back. When we signed this guy, me and Fred were sitting here. It happened live. We're like, bro, that's mad signing, bro. What the hell?
That was sick.
And I have never seen a big boy from the Bulldogs other than Jake Preston. And Jake Preston plays on one side of the field. Just run a line, cuz. Like... Have a halfback there, pop it through, run a line. Have a hooker there, pop it through, run a line.
Kurt Mann, bro,
it was just so refreshing. And it wasn't about us beating the Dragons. It was just about something I haven't seen in a long time. You know what I mean? I love that short ball. I love that little flick. And someone's running their heart out. Makes me so happy. And because as soon as he got on the field, it was work. Like, he didn't get to, like, get in the zone.
Straight of
it. Like, start pointing his fingers, like, yeah, Marcus, nah, cuz it was straight on. He got the ball. Boom. What a way to start your Bulldogs
career.
He was
locked in, bro.
Locked in, scored a double. For me, man of the match. He was one of the, like...
Yeah, I think he got man of the match.
I think he did get man of the match. I don't know. I don't wait.
You can't long. Score two tries and make 180 metres off.
Maybe you scored
runs.
Three like that guy I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, no. Listen, Sitili was cracked, bro. And he was like... I told you, he's going to come off the bench and that's going to be his role. He's going to make it his own. Because there's no ego with this guy. Not everyone is Zach Lomax and has to play starting right center, yeah. Whatever the fuck he's doing.
This bloke is doing
what's best for him and what's best for the team. And what's best for the team is for Sitili to bring that energy off the bench every week.
Curran was like that too, bro. Curran is good enough to start for us, guys.
Yeah, and these are things like, why did they let us... Like, Fletch, bro, even Fletch was like Hainsey. Fletch was on the Fletch and Hainsey show, like, baffled as to why they let him go. And they missed him. They missed his energy big time.
Oh, for David Fafita.
And
it was a David Fafita thing, bro. And tipped them off. Like, the players are like, bro, straight out. Like, he's whatever. We're just gonna leave.
Yeah, but what a mad signing. What a mad performance. And he's gonna stay in that bench role and he's gonna kill it. And next week we're gonna get Josh Curran back.
Hopefully, man.
And I was really happy with Soluka Fafita too. Yeah, I think he only played the first 20 minutes. His first impact on the game was in the first tackle where he nicked whoever was running it and he dropped the ball.
And they dropped the ball.
And then gave him a mouthful.
What about
his budget Payne Haas, bro? I thought I was watching Payne Haas out there, bro. He's got the same sideburns, same yeah, well, of hair, boy, same like size, same height.
Same like, beard.
Same everything, bro. What a mad cunt, bro.
Budget Payne Haas, I like that one. You know what? Obviously, Kurt Mann's eye is... eye's not that bad, Kurt Mann, right?
Was jinning when I heard that he was coming off the bench, I was losing it. Because it's who he's coming off the bench for.
Salmon.
Yeah. Like, last minute, I'm like... I could see what he was trying to do, but I'm like, dude, if we don't start fast, we're going to get... I think it might be too hard to overcome.
And it was, because the Dragons looked good in the first three. Like, they actually looked like, you know, ooh, Dragons. You know,
they had a lot of possession in that first...
A lot of energy, a lot of possession. And then because Kurt Mann came on and just said, brother, F your whole game plan.
Yeah.
You and your premiership winning coach that they discussed downstairs.
Yeah.
All right? And I agree with what they were saying, but... He just said, brother, sack your whole game plan. I'm Kurt Mann. I'm him. You know what I mean?
Well, like, he's so good, bro.
He's so good. I can't believe we have him.
How did we get this guy for so little?
You know what's funny? You know what will be the next funny story of Gus Gould? If Jack Turpin just becomes this beast of a player that fills in somewhere.
Or Hayward.
Hayward, I think.
But
I wanted to speak about Jacob Preston. Unbelievable player. Unbelievable stint. Because, wallah, if I could tell you, if you could point someone that's consistently a good player, it's fucking Jacob Preston. He's always good, because he's never a game where he's bad.
Did you hear what Matty John said?
Nah, what did he say?
Matty John said, I think this guy's going to be playing in a Blues jersey in the very, very soon. And he says, I think he's going to be at the Dogs a long time and he's going to captain us.
What did we say?
And I think... I didn't see any lies there, bro.
Because from his first season, in the worst season of the Bulldogs possible, that was the 66-0 season was his first season. He was unbelievable. He was scoring tries. I didn't even know. If you were to sit there and pick someone on a multi, who are you going to pick? I'd like, Jacob Preston. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of player he is. And yes, I said this. And I even said it to his face when he was at my house. You're going to play Origin, cuz. And he's going to be humble and say, but I know that's an Origin player. Because when I look at Cameron Murray, I look at someone that's going 150 miles an hour every second of the day. That's Preston.
You see someone that his whole life is rugby league, bro.
Yeah, bro. And he's a good
Based
guy.
Based on what the players say, his whole life is rugby league and his girlfriend.
He doesn't even oosh, yeah. He doesn't even oosh. It's not. You know what I mean? Like, he's a good player, cuz. Yeah. Shout out. We need to get him back in.
But there's also someone else that we're missing, and it's bloody Max King. I didn't even look at his numbers. I don't care, because I saw a brother...
Cut his hair by himself and just got on the field.
Brother, I just saw a brother that... He looks so fit. Yeah. What I was hearing in the preseason, I saw on the field today, or on the field on Saturday, because this bloke, he just had go.
Yeah.
He wasn't stopping. In the second half, he's taken two carries in one set.
Day 564, Max King, he's still haven't scored a try yet.
Max King, he's going to be in Origin talks this year. If like he's going to be in the conversation. I'm not saying he's going to get picked
yet.
But he's going to be, if they had 10 props on the list, he's going to be one of them. Him, Terrell May, guys like that, like, I think, man, he was spectacular on both ends of the ball, both ends of the field. The boys, they muscled up. They were really good. But the thing is, dude, they were putting in so much effort in the first hour that their body started breaking the last 20. We had Crichton go down with cramps.
Yeah, that was a big miss.
We had Preston cramping. We had a lot of guys going down with cramps. And they scored one try because Crichton was down with cramps that bad that they hooked him. But that just shows how much effort they were putting in and how much more effort they were putting in that first 60 than the Dragons. That's why we're up so much.
It's a good sign
to start the season.
Bless you. It's a good sign to start the season like that, wallah. Like, to actually go out there and be that fit. And that's what I said. I didn't want a 50-0 game. I'm not saying I'm not being cocky, but I didn't want that. I want something. I know it's going to give me a bit of anxiety, but character built from the start of the season, bro. Let us get going. Let's get, all right, boys, look, if we get complacent for 5 minutes, we can lose our 20-0, 24-0 lead, like against Manly. You know what I mean? They'll never forget that game. Any shining lights from the Dragons before we move on to one more Bulldogs player I want to talk about?
Yeah, shining lights from the Dragons. I thought Gufferson
was good, wallah.
Because this bloke should be starting. I don't care what anyone said. I said it when you signed Cook. Jacob Little is a better player than Cook now.
I love him, bro.
And the team plays better.
He is Damien Cook zippiness a couple years ago.
And you could arguably say that coaching is why they lost the game, because why did it take him so long to get Jacob Little on the field? All right, I don't get it. They looked so much better when Jacob Little was playing.
They're faster, bro. They're playing the ball quicker. They're making more meters. I'd say Jacob Little as well. I didn't see anyone else in that team that was...
I think Gutherson was all right.
Gutherson is Gutherson.
Yeah, like, he made their attack look a lot more silky. He definitely, if they didn't have Gutherson, they would have conceded more points. Because you can see the impact of Gutherson when you watch Parramatta play without him.
Yeah, 100%.
There's so many more holes everywhere that Gutherson plugs with his voice and his leadership.
He's very reliable, cuz.
Like, having a fullback like Clint, even though he got nicked by Montoya, still not.
That's what I want to talk about.
A fullback can't save every try.
100%. Montoya, what's your thoughts quickly before we move on?
Played very good game.
Played very good.
I know he did a Montoya moment, like vintage Montoya moment.
I was waiting for it.
He scores and then he drops the ball
off the kickoff.
Like pretty much second tackle off the kickoff and then they score. But still, overall, very good game. They didn't test him at all. They were going to Wilson's side because they just had the size mismatch.
I'm happy that he can test in the air for the ball,
but
bro.
Can we just... there's one player that on the Dragons that I want to talk about. Because where was he? The missing persons report for Valentine Holmes.
The guy with the... okay.
Yeah, you remember him? He used to be really good. Like, championship winner.
You know, someone was telling me that we're going to get pumped round one. And he's a Bulldogs fan. Like, bro, I'm so scared. I'm like, what are you scared of? He's like, bro, they got Holmes, they got Cook.
Who?
They got Amakaz. Who? They got Gufferson. I was like, they're three players that I have no fear for. The only one I fear is Holmes in Origin. That's the only one.
I fear Holmes because they become demons like Dengagai. Listen, I fear Holmes too. But he's playing with the halves that didn't know how to get him the ball.
And I just think
didn't know how to get him on a one-on-one. He got on a one-on-one one time and he made a line break.
Man, I think it's...
He's just not being utilised properly, man. And the problem is, if you're not utilising Valentine Holmes, then guess what? You have Valentine Holmes on defense the whole time. Yeah. So you get exploited.
Then you have to sit there and worry about that.
Yeah, that's what... Because if you're not utilizing him in attack as much as possible, you're not going to get the money value from Valentine Holmes because, yeah, if he gets you one try a game...
It's good, but like...
But he's letting in... Tired. He's going to let in two. it's a net negative, right?
Quickly on the last...
Oh, we got to speak about it, right?
Yeah, the meat pie...
Nah, I was talking about Tupelodu chucking a celebration for half an hour.
Let's go.
I've been doing TikTok a long time. I've never seen... I was expecting a whitewash in terms of people agreeing with me, but I had a lot of people...
Disagreeing
with me, laughing at him. And I was in Bulldogs game mode. And what you guys have to understand is when I'm watching a Bulldogs game, I'm not biased. I actually try to keep it as level-headed as possible, but... Ajin easily,
and I'll get
rage baited by shit like that so easily because all I care about is the game. Like, I'm a different person when I watch the football. That's why the boys
love this.
My viewership numbers go up when the Dogs play because people know that's when they're gonna get entertained, you know. And look, yeah, it took me like a minute before I started laughing at it instead of being mad at this, like, because I was thinking about it. If I was a Dragon, if a Dogs player did that. Like, we're down 20 points and he's celebrating for 5 minutes. Show me the money because I would have lost my shit. If Ockenball, like, can you imagine Ockenball doing that? I saw Ockenball score a worldie once against Newcastle.
Well, you're down 40-0 and he's not
celebrating. Because he scored. If he celebrated, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I can't even
remember if he celebrated or not because the try was that good. I was just in awe that he caught a ball like that kick, remember? But
because that's what I was saying.
In a rivalry game at home, like if we're at Belmore and we're down 28-6, and you score and you're not turning around and just
run, running, just back, go back, brother,
locking in, because it's like, dude, when a football player scores, he's down 4-1. What does he do? He picks up the ball from the keeper and he runs back to the middle to get a quick. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I couldn't believe my eyes, cause you know when he celebrated, I was like, fair play. Like when he first, like you know, you celebrate the try, I'm like. And then he started to drag on a bit, and I was like, bro.
He was Bruno-ing, bro.
Yeah, I was like, bro, what are you doing? And then he kept going, and then I started telling everyone I was watching. I was like, look at what's happening? I started pointing at the TV, like, in shock, bro.
I can't believe you did that.
What is going on?
Because there were Dragons fans messaging me. I was swearing at the TV because I don't understand. Like, this game is a serious game.
You know what,
especially
bro,
for them, bro.
I'm all for banter, cuz, right? Wallah, we're all for
the
it.
The third one, wallah, go celebrate all you want. You scored a hat-trick. Yeah. Be fucking happy.
And you're close to the, like...
Yeah, you're getting closer.
Yeah, not down
but
by
I
20.
Think even Gutherson was yanking him in on the hat-trick
one. Yeah, he's like,
brother,
hurry up.
Like, come on, bro. Like, I understand people want characters in the game. I understand people want, love the celebrations. The amount of people saying, they're using the argument, oh, you never scored. Well, how many tries do you have in an NRL, bro? I'm like... Yeah,
doesn't
but
matter.
That's besides the point. Like, I was taught to never celebrate when you're down, especially when you're down big.
The mentality.
It's embarrassing that you're down big. So why the hell are you celebrating? It just shows the, like, it just makes me feel like the game doesn't matter that much.
It's a mentality thing.
The win or the loss doesn't matter as much.
He just cares about his Ronaldo. He just cares about scoring.
Yeah. But that's what it. I understand their point of view, but I still don't agree with it. Like, that would piss me off as a fan if somebody did that. It would piss me off even more as a teammate, because I can just envision Lonnie Mamatidis doing that, celebrating a three when we're down 38-12. Because I would sub him out. I would go get him by the ear and sub him out. That's my own teammate, one of my best mates. If he did something like that, I can only imagine how much it would piss me off. And that's in, like, a local rec league, basketball, Cairns Hill, you know what I mean?
Instead
of the NRL. Like, I know the teammates, I think Damian Cook came out and defended him. But me, personally, and I think a lot of people would agree with me, maybe we're old school, I don't know. But if my teammate did that shit, I would fucking lose it on him.
I said the same thing in the group chat.
And it's a mentality thing. If they're accepting,
it's not about him putting it on us. Wallah, I don't care. You know, if you
actually, I like Tupelodu, by the way.
If you win the game and you celebrate, go hard, brother. Yeah. What the hell? Akhi, go hard. Like, that's the kind of sportsmanship you have to have when you're watching footy or any sport, right? But to do that is crazy.
Yeah.
I just got one more thing to talk about. Serious topic. We have a good rivalry with the Dragons fans, right? We have a good rivalry with Parramatta fans. We have a good whatever. Everyone has rivalries. When you're at the stadiums, you might get sworn at, whatever. You might, whatever. That's all right, bro. That's all good in love and the spirit. And the game's over because you shake your hands like a true Australian, right? Because this is what I was taught in Australia as an Australian. Australians, you know what I mean? But there was a scumbag from the Dragons fan base. And I'm not going to say all Dragons fans are like this. This is just one. What's wrong with you, bro? Like, wallah, like... Let's be real. What is wrong with you? Are you sick in the head, bro? Like, you lose the game. That's not even, like, you know, when I say that, what I think, I just think you're racist. That's straight out. That's how I feel. And I'm not the biggest type of bloke to be like, oh, I'll be a victim. It is what it is. Life goes on. Everyone has something. But that just gave me racism vibes. Like, yeah, let me throw it on a doggy supporter, Lebo doggy supporter. That's how I looked at it, right? And that's how it's looked at. Now, if a Bulldogs fan did that, If a white Bulldogs fan from North Shore did that, right? Brother, his name is Muhammad. His name is Allah. His name, some Arab name. All right? I'm not saying it's a Muslim thing. I'm saying it's an Arab thing. Straight away, instantly. Oh, Arabs going crazy at the Bulldogs. Belmore fever. Or some bullshit story. So, just to let everyone know, I'm not here to I don't really care, because do whatever you want. But... it's just so simple for people with their eyes open to see the double standards that the Bulldogs fan base gets. Now, on that note of that guy doing that, you're an idiot. I hope you get banned from every game. I hope your kids your kids see this and be like, I would never want to be like this. Because when it comes to sport, you should watch the sport, enjoy the sport, swear, vent, whatever you want to do, bro, do whatever you want. But in the end of the day, cuz, you should walk up to each other, shake each other's hands. I'm a Bulldogs fan. My uncle's a Dragons fan. Chris is a Doggies fan. Chris is a Dragons fan. His wife's a Doggies fan. Like, it's just, we're all mixed, cuz. So just, I don't know why you sit there and try to separate us, try to do shit like this. Well, it really pissed me off, made me upset, made me very angry. But yeah, that shouldn't be happening because that game. Yeah, Wallah, that shouldn't look, be even me, when it comes to Bulldogs and Parramatta, because the feast, the most craziest rivalry, and it's Lebos versus Lebos, yeah? Like most of it. You don't see shit like this happen. It could be a grand final. You never see shit like this happen. It is what it is. Life goes on. Just respect each other, bro. That's the point.
Yeah, look, straight up. Look, for me, it's a, I don't think it's a race thing. This is me, but like I feel like he was, it's just a bloke trying to have a laugh and get some, get their 15 minutes of fame, you know, doing stuff like that. Yeah.
But
look,
he would never dare to do it at a Manly game.
Well, like,
would he dare, would he do it at a Manly game?
Would he do
it? Would he do it at a Roosters game?
Would he do it at Belmore? Hell no.
Why?
But the thing is, the worst thing this guy could have done is show his face, because now that's a pretty memorable face, bro. This guy's gonna get pies. I reckon this guy's gonna get pies thrown at him. From like every fan base that saw that video, and if he goes to a Dogs game again, like if he goes to Dogs or Dragons,
he'll never go.
But he won't. But if he did, because he's getting minimum 4 pies thrown at him. Because social media, guys never forget. Once your face is there, cuz, I don't care if it's 240p.
You've written your name in the concrete. Yeah, no, there forever.
That's it. Bro, I'm not endorsing it, but I'm saying, because if you're willing to throw a meat pie, you're willing to cop a meat pie to the face, bro. That's all I'm going
to
say.
You know what's funny? He's not willing to. In the end, he's like, oh, it's not... Started backing out on that.
Yeah, he's denied it. He dropped nuts.
You dropped nuts, and I get it.
You know, how do you deny something that's on video, by the way? Like, you got
caught. And you posted it.
You know that RDC.
Brother, did they post it?
You know that RDC World video? Like, you got caught in 4K? That's exactly what happened. Yeah, but 4K, did he post bro. It? Yeah, he posted it. He wants his 15 minutes of fame, bro.
Crazy shit, bro. Anyway, are you going or? Okay, no worries. Let's talk about Manly's dominance, and then we'll get into Melbourne, give our predictions, and then we'll round up quickly.
Yeah.
What is it? Okay, do you want to jump on and do this part? Are you happy to have him on?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
all right, sweet. I gotta go. I'm invited out for Futur. It was lovely to see you all. I hate Parramatta, right? And they got pumped. And I'm going to let you... You know what? We'll do a quick review on Joe. This is the man, Joe. He's my brother. Come in.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is Joe.
He's a debut, boys.
He's a debut. This is his debut, right? He's a good kid. He wants to learn, and he's here to. He's part of. I was gonna say Ajib's couch. He's part of League Lads now. He's part of the HQ.
Because you're still jinning about that.
Get in, bro.
You're still jinning about that, aren't you, bro? You still cut a little bit.
Walla, I'm not. I'm not cut at all. Honestly, I'm not cut. It's actually easier for fun, but I just forget sometimes. Yeah. Right? So this is Joe. He's gonna take over. He's gonna speak a bit about the footy with Freddie. Show him some love, bro. Follow his socials.
I love you, brother.
I'm going to go eat, cuz.
Let him go eat. Let the boys go eat. All right, let the boys go eat. We can talk about the last two games. All right. This probably will need some editing, Joe, but...
That's all right, brother.
He's got it. But if you've got it, is it dropping Tuesday?
Don't get too long.
No, we won't. There's two games left. Go have a cry. If we go too long, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing,
yeah, exactly.
How you doing, Fred?
How you going, Joe?
Good.
Boys, this is Joe.
I'm Joseph, the debut.
Debut, bro. I've known this guy for actually long. Like, they told me we got a new guy starting, and I'm like, okay, yeah, sweet. Turns out I've known this bloke for ages. We've watched multiple games together at Belmore. Like,
round three, last year against Titans, the first time I saw you.
And the Raiders, too. The Raiders game, too. So, Joe's a champion, and I like him way better than Flax because he goes for the Dogs. And he talks a lot less shit than Flax. And as much as I love Flax... You also hate Flax, but you just can't hate Joe. Right? He's just one of the nicest guys. So shout out to Joe. I just glazed you hard.
Yeah.
And in return, we're going to talk mad footy about Manly versus Cowboys, bro.
Quickly, before we do that, something about the Dogs game. That set play where Wilson scored that try, Champagne Rugby League. Should get that out there. That was a mad like set play and try.
The one where Wilson passed to... Sorry, where...
It was off the
Connor
scrum.
Connor Tracy. People were saying that pass was forward. I didn't see that one being forward.
Wasn't forward.
I don't think that the Tupanua one was, but apparently everybody at the game was saying it was forward.
I was right in front. Well, I was on the hill. It wasn't forward.
Yeah, okay. I believe you, man.
Maybe
I'm a bit biased. I don't know, but I'll call a spade, but it just didn't look that forward. No.
Also, for context, I don't normally sound like this. This is just what I sound like after a first game of footy. I've missed footy, and I sound like this now. So.
Yeah, this is me with no voice. Can you believe that? I was testy popping like every second word on Saturday because I lost my voice. I was gone. But man, that was a really good game. But honestly, the next game was the Manly game, and I had an absolute blast watching that one. Because I've never, even though, look, even though Storm put like nearly 60 on Parramatta, I still think that Manly were more silky. And I've never seen a team, honestly, in my lifetime, look that good in round one in terms of how they were moving the ball.
Yeah.
Their 1-7 looked like it was like a joy to watch them. It was like, it was amazing. I was going to cry tears of joy. The rugby league that I was seeing, after not seeing rugby league for ages, man, it was beautiful to watch.
Look, as someone that has openly disliked Manly for many reasons, that was some great footy from Manly. They played really well. Like, that opening half in particular, that was just outstanding. They just, every single facet of the game, they outplayed the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think, the first 15 minutes of the second half was arguably their best part, their best period of rugby league then. Like, I know they didn't score that much, but they made more line breaks in the first 15 minutes of the second half than in the whole first half.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? They bombed a lot of tries. They could have easily put 60. Easy 60.
Yeah, bro. Look, it was me. I needed Tommy Turbo. I needed Lehi Hopewadi. They barely went to Lehi Hopewadi's side. Okay? They were just doing it all on Garrick and Jason Saab's side. And they all looked great, man. And, like, their forward pack was looking dominant as well. And this is why I think the Cowboys were going to struggle, because they just lack forwards. They lack depth in the forwards. They have two. They lost all of these players that were there for a while, and they replaced them with nobody. And my goodness, that had to be one of the worst debuts of a player I've ever seen. Not because Duffy played bad. It's like, the kid couldn't really have changed the result. And that's the sad thing. Like, his first game was just an absolute belting.
Manly in Manly round one.
Like, yeah. We got Manly in Manly round one couple of years ago.
2023, we got pumped.
I still have PTSD from that game. You know what I mean?
Because
it is the worst ground to go to, like, in terms of, like, travel.
The actual fan base fortress. Like, those fans.
Dude, it's such an amazing ground, by the way. It is, honestly, to watch the game at. Like, round one, it was something special, that 2 years ago. And my team got smashed, right? But my goodness, they need a parking lot or a parking garage or something. Like, there's no train station near it. There's no parking anywhere. I hated that ground, bro. Like, I hated it. Like, getting there. The travel getting there and the travel going was a nightmare. But, man, there's something special about that ground. And shout out to Hello Sport, by the way. The good day sign looked amazing, bro. And how can you not be G'd up when you're looking at that good day sign, bro? And I think that was such a wholesome thing for Manly to do. Like, that's some great, like, a great way to pay homage to a very good product from a great bunch of boys that go for your club. Like, you know what I mean? And but they looked amazing. And yeah, that's a tough place to go to round one. And even though, and I feel like the scoreline still flattered the Cowboys as bad as the scoreboard was.
Lost by 30, but still flatters. They should have easily been lost by 60. They were very lucky with a lot of Manly bombed opportunities. Like, Jason Saab, he's going to learn to pass on his inside a bit more. He's done a couple of games now. He passes on the inside, drops the ball.
Yeah.
It's a shit pass.
It's always bad. He can't pass that way. You can tell.
You can tell. He does it a lot. He tried to do the turbo. It just went forward and was lost.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, he's gotten enough games now to, you know, he's not, when you're a young rookie player, it's understandable. Like,
he's got a couple of years now.
Yeah, like, you should be able to add that to your game. Ado Carr as well can't do that either.
Yeah, that's true.
He always goes for the kick because I don't think he's confident in passing that way. But the thing is, I see a pattern where the really, really fast players suck at passing because they're moving so much faster than everybody. It's hard to put the right weight on the pass. That's the way I see it. Like, Jason Saab is constantly having to slow down so that Turbo can catch up to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's very hard to pass on the run like that. So it's not an easy pass to make, but I've seen plenty of fast players have it in their game. So there's no, like, I think it's something that they should look to add instead of the kick, especially at a car that used to always make me lose my mind. If he just added a pass, it's...
Well, we don't have to worry about that problem anymore. Now
that's true.
You know what? He did do a one good inside pass once, 2024's Good Friday match.
Yeah.
Well, one pass to Matt Burden that led to our first try in that match.
In Origin too. Like, I was watching the Origin games back. He used to pass on the inside a lot.
So he can do it. He just, I think as he's gotten a bit older and he's you know, prioritizes maintaining the fastest player. He's kind of let that skill go.
Yeah, but I think it's also, he's actually not a bad kicker of the ball. Like, he has his shonky ones, but he kicks it pretty well more often than not.
But look at the one with Reid Marnie at the Manly game, round 26.
Yeah.
That kick was right on the dime for him. That, see, if the game was done by that point, but still, it was a good try.
Yeah, so, but look, if you're a Cowboys fan, are you, where do you think the Cowboys are going to finish? Are you like Sui? Sui thinks the Roosters are cooked. Like, I look at the Cowboys and I think they're cooked because they've got a quality six in Tom Dearden, probably the best six in the comp, arguably definitely top two in my mind. And they've given him no help.
Well, again, I believe it was Bloke in the Bar, maybe it was someone else that broke us down very well. How the Manly shut down Tom Dearden that entire game. Because what they do, they put Hamola Olakau'atu just batter him that whole game. Because again, take Dearden out of the game.
What are they going to do? Hopeless. Yeah, no. I think without him, they would have finished very low last year. And I think, man, you want somebody else to beat you.
Yeah, again, if Dearden doesn't play against us around 20, we probably do win that game. Even though we made that dumb call of taking the two and up by four, we probably still would have won that game. But Dearden was just... He
was the one.
Good.
He did that last try that they won the game off,
like,
all on his own.
Assist. Yeah, he broke the line, gave it to Purdue, and then that was it.
That's all on his. That's all Tom Dearden in my mind, man. And look, I like Purdue, but I don't see him as a center personally, and I just think they're throwing him in there because they don't want to lose him. Like, because they didn't do this with Kalen Ponga, they couldn't fit him anywhere, and they lost him, right?
And now look at him.
And now look at him. Like, they're playing Purdue so that they don't lose him. But if they keep playing like this, and like, because they've lost Kyle Felt, they've lost Valentine Holmes.
A lot of experience. They've
lost a lot of, like, they didn't have Taumalolo that match, and you could feel it in the middle.
No Harlan Lukey either for the year, ACL. They've lost
a lot of experience. They lost Lukey, and then they also lost Finifuiaki, who would have just slotted in, but now he's on a Dolphins jersey. Like, and they've replaced these guys that they lost with nobody.
The most recognizable one, John Bateman, but again, he didn't really adjust that well so far. I know it's one game, but it wasn't one of the best.
Look, I don't even know why they were remotely interested in John Bateman, personally. Like, I would have rather have just kept Finifuiaki. You know, he's probably on less money too. Like, Bateman is like, I don't really rate him that highly. I rated him before he went back to England. But afterwards, it's like, I don't get the appeal, you know. There are plenty of, like, we're stacked in the NRL with back rowers everywhere. I just don't know why he's more appealing than a kid that's got a bright future ahead of him in Finifuiaki, and they might pay the price long term, because Bateman is a win now signing, and he was there available. Fair enough, I get it, but I don't see the appeal, and I don't see how he's going to help them make them a better team.
I agree. I think, look, Finifuiaki, I think he's going to do great in Dolphins. I don't know. Cowboys, for me, I'll answer your earlier question about where I think they'll finish on the ladder. I think despite losing so many players, I still think they're going to finish like either 11th or 9th, like in that range.
Yeah.
Because again, they've got a lot of strike power. Like Drinkwater, Dearden, Robson, like they've got some good strike power in their team. I just think they just got to work in their defense. Their attacking wise, they're solid. It's just their defense needs a lot of work.
Yeah, and I think that those players, you need to put them in a position. You want to put them in a position to succeed through making meters in the middle.
Like, that's
but they just
saw,
don't do that.
I saw a lot of people putting Cowboys like top. Someone put them top four.
Yeah, I saw. Well, Clarkie put them top four. I
disagree. I don't.
Yeah, I had them 11th, I think.
I got them like, I think, 10th or 9th. Like, I don't rate them personally this year. I just think they got a lot of issues still. I think they'll do well at times, but they have a lot of defensive woes. And now they've lost a lot of experience. Mainly Felt and Holmes, who were a key part of their attacking strength. They've now lost that, and, you know, it's a big issue for them.
Yeah. Now, we've got another team that absolutely belted somebody. And I think this one, as Dogs fans, this one was very fun to watch. Melbourne absolutely beat the brakes off of Parramatta, who, in all fairness, were losing a lot, were missing a lot of players. But, in my opinion, pretty much everyone but Moses wasn't really a major loss. And I think it's the fact that they didn't have Moses meant they were getting belted. And in all fairness, Melbourne round one in Melbourne, after they lost in the grand final and they added Stefano, you're getting belted.
Like, I knew from the full strength. Beginning. I said it last week on the pod when I was on the chair over there. I said Melbourne were going to win this. I said 30 plus. I thought they were going to dominate. you know, if they didn't concede like those last couple of consolation tries, it would have been 50 plus. They were getting absolutely eviscerated.
And the funny thing is, Bellamy probably lost it at them for just taking the foot off the gas in the second half, because they just they didn't have that intensity or desire. And I get it, it's round one. The fitness probably went down because, God, like if you played rugby league, I found my prop, man, I would have hated that, because constantly having to run to match the line breaks that they were making. And I can't even pinpoint who the best player for Melbourne was.
It's probably
Pappenhausen. Yeah,
Paps like, was their, probably in my opinion, their best on field.
He was the one breaking them open, but man, Munster looked damn good. And
Meany, bro. That, when Parramatta dropped the ball, it was like their first proper set down Melbourne.
Yeah.
They drop it, Meany gets it.
That was the one to make it 40.
Yeah, literally right before halftime. That was just...
That one had to sting, man. That was one of the worst performances I've seen from a half ever in Volkman. Well, no, it's hard to play well when no one on your team's playing well, but like his first two kicks were borderline out on the full and then out on the full. You know what I mean? It was a nightmare from him. And I just want to say one thing. I feel very, very bad, because I know a lot of people probably won money on that game, myself included, right? Because everybody that we needed to score scored. But I had a lot of friends and people in my stream that needed Munster, and Pappenhausen had probably one of the worst hog jobs I've ever seen in my life. He's on the right side of the field, makes a line break. All he has to do is pass it to Munster, who's completely unmarked, and he just went for it himself. And they're winning by a big margin at this point, and Munster was filthy, because you know he's come back after a long period out. He wants a meat pie. And
by that point, everyone else at the spine had scored. So if he had scored that try, it would have been they won 6 and 7, and 9 would have all scored a try.
Yeah, and I can't even remember the last time that's happened. But
I think probably the preliminary final last year with Melbourne and Roosters, I think their entire spine scored.
No, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it's a Melbourne thing, isn't it? Their spine is just so damn good. It's the best spine in the competition. I agree.
The best spine in the comp. Like, literally in all they're at least top five or top two in each of their respective positions. Pappenhausen top five fullback, Munster top 3 5'8", Jerome Hughes top 3 halfback. Harry Grant is the number one hooker in my opinion.
Oh, without a doubt, I think Munster's still the top 6 in the comp. I think we're really stacked. Like, I think there's a lot of good sixes, but there's not many great sixes. I think the only two great sixes in the comp are Munster and Dearden. I think Luai and Matt Burden, like Luai can borderline be in that conversation. I think last year Matt Burden was also in that conversation. But to be a great six, I think you got to be there for a few years at least. And I think, yeah, you just got to give it to those three.
Yeah.
Like Luai, Munster, like and Dearden. That's probably the top three. But individually, Matt Burden, I think, was there last season. I think we're like 16th without him.
I
think he makes up for every weakness that we have, right? He makes up for it. Like, whenever we really suck at getting out of our own end and making meters in the middle. And, whenever we don't, and we'd have that one set every game where we can't get past the 20, and Matt Burnham will kick it to the other side of the damn field. You know what I mean? And he's so valuable. But
yeah, I completely agree. Like, without Burnham, we don't do as well as we did last year.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons, whether it was kicking field goals, scoring tries, or just getting us out of our own end. Because, again, since our pack is small but mobile, there are some sets like against Sharks, Warriors, like the big forward packs, we're not going to make a lot of meters. We're going to get pushed back. Just give it to Burden, launches it.
Yeah, and it was an amazing performance by Melbourne. Diabolical performance by Parramatta, but I don't think it represents them and how good they are. I actually think they're going to be a lot better than that when they.
I actually got maybe a hot take. I don't know, but when I heard Moses was out for 6 weeks, I'm going to stand by this. I think Parramatta are going to go 0-6 to start this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.